Blog Talk Radio.
A licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. We are often imitated, but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens. My co-host is Pat Foreman, author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles. Today is Wednesday. It's Hump Day, October 3rd, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and, of course, living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to personally thank you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. When you need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensey.com. Brensey spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensey.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensey. Technology you can trust.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Thank you very much for joining us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We have a fabulous show lined up for you today. If you remember a couple of weeks ago when Arlena was joining us with Garden Wise Living, we had said and talked about that we wanted today's show to be all about planting fruit trees. It's about that time. Normally October, November, fall time, at least depending on where you live, may be a little earlier, maybe a little later, is really a good time to start planting those fruit trees. So I'm looking forward today to the show. I've got a lot to learn as well. We're wanting to have a small little orchard here at the homestead, and so I've got some questions, hopefully, that Arlena will be able to answer. On our Facebook page, I posted a link to one of her pages. She's got a Garden Wise Living TV show. And so I had posted a link earlier on our Facebook page a couple of times to her page that talks all about fruit trees and planting them. And I frequently ask questions. So maybe you've had a chance to go click on that link and take a look. We'll try to post the link here in the chat room for everybody as well. But it's going to be a great show, all about planting fruit trees and the responsibilities that come with that. A lot of times people won't plant fruit trees because not just the planting issue, that's the easy part really, it's the continued maintenance that you hear about so often with the fruit trees. So we'll definitely pick her brain about that. And of course, as always, we'll try to see what wine she happens to be partaking in. I know that she likes a real sweet wine, almost like a dessert wine, if you will. So in the past, it's been some raspberry wine and muscadine wine and some strawberry wine and things like that. So we'll see what wine that she's partaking in for today's show. So looking forward to today. Tomorrow is another great episode of Poultry Today with Dr. McCray. Dr. McCray, PhD, poultry scientist, professor, and small flock specialist. And as I look at the calendar here, it looks like tomorrow will be, now this show may not be for everybody coming up tomorrow, but it's been a popular one, and I'll explain here in a minute. But tomorrow with Dr. McCray, the radio show, the topic's going to be how to process your chickens at home. How to process your chickens at home. That'll be tomorrow's show. So I understand that's not for everybody. We have listeners all over the world and all over the country and all walks of life. In fact, we have listeners that don't even eat the eggs. They're vegan, and they keep chickens for composting their composting ability, fertilizer, insect control, and pets. They give the eggs away. So they don't eat chicken. They don't even eat the eggs. We've got vegetarians that maybe eat eggs but no chicken. We've got folks that just have them as pets but eat their eggs and would never even consider eating Petunia and Precious and Gertrude and your pets. I get that. Okay. My wife is like that. Okay. But we have an awful lot of people that live on homesteads and actually want to provide for their family. That includes meat. So tomorrow, Dr. McCray will be talking all about processing your chickens at home. So I know the show won't be for everybody, but let me tell you this. When I started the Atlanta Backyard Poultry Meetup Group over four years ago now, we're approaching, I think we're about five members away from 2,000 members. This is the largest local backyard chicken meetup group in the world, and a great group of folks. And we did a couple of years ago, we did an on-site class on how to process your backyard chickens. And I talked to people firsthand there, and I asked them. And some people who attended still thought, there's just no way I could do this, but I wanted to come so I could learn about it if I had to one day. Or I wanted the knowledge just in case I decided to one day. Or I'm just interested in seeing what it's all about. I also talked to people that said, a couple of years ago I would have never dreamed even doing this. And of course, I have my pet chickens in my backyard, but I've often considered having a few meat birds as well that I may not be attached to that I will raise specifically for meat for my family, because it's got to be better than the grocery store stuff, right? So I heard all of this from folks. We had a huge turnout. We had probably about 75 people attend, and maybe close to 100. And it was great. And so we processed, I think, three birds. It was hands-on. If you wanted to volunteer, most did not. But it was a kind of a watch and learn for a lot of them. But a lot of people came up and did the plucking, the whole nine yards. And so Anyway, that'll be tomorrow's show with Dr. Bridget McRae, PhD, poultry scientist, how to process your own backyard birds. That'll be tomorrow's show. And then right now, it still looks like the Friday Fun Friday show will be on, I'm not 100%. I would say tomorrow's show or Friday show is probably an 80% chance on go. I know it's going to be a busy weekend for us. We have several things that are going on that we need to get take care of, and it may start as early as Friday afternoon, even with Jen's work schedule. So right now I would just say there's about an 80% chance that show Friday will take place, and it'll be Fun Friday. We'll have lots of great prizes to give away and some trivia questions, which will make it fun. So that'll be this Friday. So great show today, great show tomorrow. I've got some good news. I didn't share, obviously, yesterday. There was no radio show yesterday. And so you'll have to, if you're tuning in, get that secret password from our Facebook or Twitter page, or maybe ask one of your friends what yesterday's password was. Hang on a minute. What's going on? There we go. Clicked on a button and it went kind of haywire here on the switchboard, so no problems. In fact, I will just go ahead and share with you, just for to be official, what yesterday's secret password was, if you maybe didn't happen to catch it yesterday, because again, yesterday there was no radio show. And so yesterday, I just had it. There we go. So yesterday's secret password was rooster. Yesterday's secret password was rooster. So there have been three secret passwords, Monday, Tuesday, and today. In fact, if you tuned in on time today, like a good student, you've already received today's early bird or today's secret password, and I will post that on Facebook a little later. So, we had the secret password on Monday. Secret password yesterday was posted on Facebook and Twitter, even though we didn't have a show. But I just let you know for official reasons. Yesterday's password, I just announced that because there wasn't a radio show, though you could have found it on Facebook or Twitter. And then I've already announced today's secret password, Wednesday. So if you were not here on time, like many good students were, you'll have to go back and listen to the archive, or you'll have to look at Facebook and Twitter later today when I actually post it. So no big deal. So three passwords have already been given out. There'll be a total, I believe, of 22. And then on Halloween, the 31st, if you're the correct caller and you can recite all 22 passwords, you're going to win an awesome chicken coop from mypetchicken.com. How cool is that? Also, I announced all the details on our Facebook page, how to enter the other chicken coop contest we're having in October. Yep, two chicken coop contests in October, totally unprecedented, first of its kind, thanks to our wonderful sponsors. Snaplock Chicken Coops is sponsoring contest number two, and all you have to do to enter that is send me an email. Send me an email to contest@chickenwhisperer.net. If you want to enter that contest, here you go. Send me an email, contest@chickenwhisperer.net. In the subject line, put chicken coop contest. In the subject line, put chicken coop contest. And then in the email itself, I need your name, shipping address, and phone number. Name, shipping address, and phone number in the email itself. Send it to me. That'll be your entry. And then we'll go to pick a random winner of that drawing on the 31st. The contest, you can enter up to the 30th of October at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So not one, but two chicken coop contests in October. So there we got going on. And so already said today's secret password for the contest. If you missed it, you'll have to check it out on Facebook or Twitter a little later this afternoon. Also, a really special announcement. I was very proud. I posted this on our Facebook page. So if you follow us on Facebook, thank you very much. You may have already seen this. In fact, it's tagged at the top. I guess it was Monday I received the phone call. But Monday, I was very honored when I received a phone call stating that I will continue to be the national spokesperson for the USDA APHIS Biosecurity for Birds program through 2013. Being your voice in Washington regarding backyard chickens is very important to me. the past 2 years that I have been in that position have been very rewarding, and I will work extra hard in the future to make your voices heard. And I want to thank you all for your support. So very, very good news. We've got big things planned. I know they've got the 2013, the 2013 Biosecurity for Birds calendar being printed as we speak. They will print literally thousands of these things, and I'll tell you how you can get your free Biosecurity for Birds calendar coming up, and I may have some when I'm on the road to give away as well. I may give away some on the radio show and whatnot, but that is in print. We will be doing a webinar, I believe, in either late January or February. About keeping your birds healthy, and that'll be with the USDA APHIS Biosecurity for Birds program, and we'll continue to be working with them. So I'm very pleased that they thought enough of the last 2 years of me being their national spokesperson to offer me that position again through 2013. And the good news is that they said it's a multi-year contract, so we'll be looking through multiple years other than just 2013. I've already done the last 2 years. Maybe we'll do another two or three in that position. And again, it's just I'm your liaison, and people, you know, back when I started this, people were sending me emails like, are you really want to be involved with them as kind of anti-government as you are? But remember, remember when they wanted to do the animal identification system, and I was a big advocate of not doing that. And so we let them know. I let them know you didn't want that put and forced down your throats. And then they tried to rear the ugly head again of the national identification system and called it something else. And it's still out there, kind of looming. But we were very y'all and myself, very, very instrumental in getting that basically shot down. I was an advocate against that as well, even in my position as the national spokesperson for USDA APHIS, but the Biosecurity for Birds program. So I thought that was very important. And so I'll continue to work for you. I hear what you say, and I share that with the folks that, and then hopefully it heads right on up the chain there to the decision makers. So unlike most politicians today, just working for you. I mean, seriously, who's got time to post pictures on their Facebook page from Pinterest, whatever the heck that's called? I don't have time to sit here on the couch all day and go to Pinterest or whatever the hell it's pronounced and sit there and look for chicken pictures to post on my Facebook page. I don't have time for all that. You know, I'm working up there, you know, helping USDA, APHIS, okay, doing interviews, spreading the chicken love, helping getting laws changed. I just sent an email to a young lady right before the radio show. Her brother-in-law and sister, or maybe it was her brother and sister-in-law, were giving her a hard time and pressuring her to get rid of her backyard flock because she has young children, and they were all concerned about salmonella. And so I spent about 20 minutes of my time posting links, answering her email, so she has some material, she has some ammo to counteract there, because it's bothering her enough for her to reach out and try to get information that she can use to counteract all this stuff that they're saying about, you need to get rid of your chickens, it's bad for your kids, bad for your health. So 20 minutes regarding that. So it's just kind of one of those things. I'm not the Signudon Farm Girl. You're absolutely correct, Poets Wife. In fact, the CDC just released some information about small turtles. Small turtles. Let me answer something here in the chat room. So I'll have to make sure I respond to this about turtles and salmonella. So it's, and I told her about, remember, hey, just recently humans were getting salmonella because they were handling the dog food bowls and the dog food for their dog, and then they were touching their mouth or not washing their hands good, and then they got salmonella. So dogs, cats, can you imagine? And we've gone through this before, the diseases from cats that can transmit to humans, not just pregnant women, you know, but all humans. It's amazing. So anyway, I spent about 20 minutes answering her email about that, so to give her some ammo against her sister or her brother and sister-in-law that want to get her regarding that. So, yeah. Oh, I didn't say that it was a bad thing to sit on the couch all day and look at Pinterest. I'm saying that I don't have time to do that. I have time to I structure my time to help people and educate people. Posting a picture from Pinterest on your Facebook page is not educating people about anything. I don't have time to do that because I'm answering emails, educating people, doing webinars, doing workshops, traveling the country, spreading the chicken love, doing something good to, you know, versus just sitting there posting pictures of chickens on Pinterest. So it's, that's not my opinion. That's a fact that I don't have time to do that. I didn't say that people that did that are bad people. I didn't say that, let's see what else. Are wasting your time. Didn't say that. Go back, listen to the transcript. Go back and listen to the other. I'm saying I don't have time for that. I don't have time to waste my time because I'm actually doing something productive to spread the chicken love. So, educating and, tours, webinars, workshops, the whole nine yards. I don't have time to sit there. I'm doing something productive for, spread the chicken love, not just post goofy pictures of chickens all day that I'm looking up on Pinterest. So didn't say anything about you. I say, and for me, go listen to the transcript. Okay. So that's not an opinion for me to say, I don't have time to sit on my rear end on the couch all day and post pictures on my Facebook page of pictures I find on Pinterest or whatever it's called. So that's not opinion. That's fact. I don't have time for that because I'm doing good things, spreading the chicken love, educating, webinars, workshops, traveling the country, helping people out, educating folks, getting laws changed, helping people get laws changed. So there's a big difference there. So that's not opinion, that's fact. So so we got a great show today, the Garden Wise Living. Arlena has joined us in the chat room. Hello, let's all give her a big, big wave there. Yay, Arlena. So very, very good. So anyway, looking forward to that and continuing in 2013 as a national spokesperson for the USDA Biosecurity for Birds program that doesn't involve any posting pictures from Pinterest, but educating the masses on keeping your birds healthy. So very good. So looking forward to that as well. And let me see what else we've got going on. I think we've got about a month. Speaking of educating the masses, if you have not already signed up, I encourage you to do so. If you live close by, it's well worth even a day's drive. If you can get over to Cary, North Carolina on Friday, November 9th, Saturday, November 10th, I've already started working on my PowerPoint for that presentation, which I assure you will not include any photos from Pinterest for that. Here we go. Now it's going to be a topic for the rest of the day. On Friday, again, November 9th, Saturday the 10th. Pat's going to be there. She'll have a workshop. I will be there. I will have a workshop. There'll be tons and tons of other homesteaders there, other authors there that'll actually be sharing their knowledge. My particular workshop is all about getting started with backyard poultry. So I've said this before, and I'll say this again. If you're interested in attending the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy annual conference, lots of awesome heritage food there from heritage chefs. It's going to be awesome. Lots of workshops that you can attend. I've told you this 1,000 times because I don't want you to waste your money. I think it's $90 or something to attend my particular workshop. Maybe it's $80. That if you've had chickens longer than 2 or 3 years, then use that time there and use your money more wisely and sign up for another one instead of mine. You'll see me there. I'll sign the book if you bring it. I'll have some books to sell and sign. That's not an issue. But if you're going to spend $80 or $90 for a workshop, get one that you may not be so experienced in. If you've had chickens less than 2 or 3 years and you're just adamant about attending mine, come on, sign up, and we'll learn a lot together. It's basically going to touch a little bit about everything. We'll talk about the movement. We'll talk about laws. We'll talk about incubation, choosing your breeds, brooding, coops, what needs to be incorporated in a coop. We'll talk a little bit about nutrition. We'll talk a little bit about disease, just a little bit about everything, which is really a good good start up if you're getting started. So again, I'm very honest and upfront with people regarding that because I want you to get 100% out of your time and your money, of course, That's this coming up November 9th and 10th, the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. So very, very good. All righty. So let's see. It's about 24 past the hour. Let me get over here to the phone lines. And like I said, today, another great episode of Garden Wise Living with Arlena. And we're talking all about fruit trees today, not just planting them. That's the easy part. Maintaining them and all the responsibilities that come with having them, because so many people won't plant them because of the hard work it takes, and at least the hard work that we hear from people all the time about, you know, and some may be harder than others. Like I've heard peach trees are disastrous to try to take care of, but maybe an apple or a pear or a plum wouldn't be so bad. So we're going to bring her on right now and join her. Arlena Schott with
Hello
Garden
there.
Wise Living. Hey, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
We are doing just fine. Thank you very much for joining us. We've been looking forward to this episode for, I guess, 2 weeks now since the last time you were on. And so the big question is, what is today's choice of wine?
Ooh, today's wine. It's a pear wine, and it is actually from another, I think I had the same kind of thing last time from this little small vineyard. I actually did receive a case for my birthday.
Okay.
Can you imagine me with a case of wine? Well, anyway, I can.
Well.
Hello?
You disappeared.
Oh, I disappeared. My phone went whoop. That's because I was trying to get the cork out. But anyway, this wine is a pear wine. Now, you can hear, okay, this is really a good wine. This little vineyard, he's a wonderful young man, and he's just outside of Oroca, Wisconsin, and him and his father have put together this vineyard. Now, they have just lately been able to get their licensing for selling their wine, so right now it's just cash donations. Mm-hmm. So my husband and my daughter went down for my 50th birthday, which was last time I was on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
And they picked up a case of wine for me. And so I am just so pleased to be able to sample each and every single one of them. So today we're doing a really nice pear wine, which is perfect for fall and perfect for what we're going to talk about as far as planting fruit trees. So it's absolutely perfect. So to you, I toast and say happy fall, because it is definitely fall outside here in
Absolutely.
And beautiful weather. We were having probably 65, 70 degrees, but I hear the snow is on its way, so we're going to stay there.
65 or 70, but it'll be snowing soon, so no worries.
That's Wisconsin. If you don't like the weather, just wait a minute. It'll change.
It'll change.
Yeah, it's the same as Nevada. Same thing. It does the exact same thing. But yes, that's what wine we're tasting today. It's pear wine. Now, at the end of the show, I don't know if you did you hear. I know you know we have a giveaway from Charlotte Daffodil Planter, which is Charlotte Germain, who is from Peaceful Valley. They are one of the largest growers of fruit trees in the nation, one of them. It's Stark Brothers along with them as well. But they have donated to us a wonderful prize of tree guards. And we will talk about the importance of tree guards later on in the show, but we all know that there is a giveaway today. Yay! So we do have that from Peaceful Valley in Grass Valley, California. They do have a wonderful website. They sell many, many fruit trees every year, over 10,000 fruit trees every single year. So they really know their fruit tree stuff, and they've given me some great information to share with y'all.
Great.
Anyway, yes. So, I see that the chat room is very lively today.
As always.
Because we have pear wine. That's why. It's it, you know. And we have pear wine. We have a sip. It's noon somewhere. And it's really, really a good wine. It's Sugar Creek Winery and Vineyard, I should call it. But like I said, he's not. He's just, they're really trying to make this little guy jump through hoops for his inspection, which is sad. Because us little guys, us little businesses, have a little tougher time than the big boys sometimes. But he will prevail, and he will get the piece of plastic fixed on his door and the little window crack fixed on his window, which is exactly why they did not give him his license this last go round. Does it make any sense to you? No. But anyway, enough of that. We do have some good wine. We have some good talk today. We are going to talk about planting fruit trees. And like you said, some people are like, when you say I'm planting a backyard orchard or an adding fruit trees to my edible landscape, which is what I like to call it, because a lot of us don't want to plant a orchard, because when you say orchard, we all kind of go, oh, gosh, that entails a lot of work. And they do. I mean, really, an orchard, duh. I don't know what the definition is, how many trees have to be considered to be an orchard, but in my opinion, if I have a tree and I have an orchard, that's my orchard. So we can look at orchards as being monstrous size if you want to decide to grow them to resale, or maybe you have a lot of people in your family and you want to preserve a lot of fruit, then that, you know, I would see why you would plant a lot of trees. But we can actually just add fruit trees to our landscape, an edible landscape, as we plant blueberries and grapes and raspberries and blackberries amongst our shrubs and bushes anymore. Let's plant a fruit tree. If we have an area that we were thinking of putting a shade tree in anyway, but we only have room for maybe one tree, there is no reason why we couldn't plant an apple tree, a pear tree, a peach tree, a cherry tree, a plum tree, whatever tree you decide to, depending on your location, your area, or what kind of fruit you like. And that's the biggest thing. Plant what you want to eat. There it is.
Right, so probably, when I say orchard, I think our ideal orchard would be about 16 trees. We're looking at 4 peach, 4 pear, 4 apple, and 4 plum at this point in time. So we're looking at 16.
Exactly. We're planting 6 for now. I've got my apples already purchased, and I'm heading over to Northern Christmas Tree to do a filming of their fruit trees probably later next week, so I hope it's not snowing too deep. But anyway, but we are going to plant for now 1 for each grandchild, and that's 5.5, 6 on the way in 2 weeks. So we're going to plant 6 fruit trees for now. Then we're going to eventually add 2. So, yeah, we're all doing our own little home orchards, if we want to call them, or edible landscape addition, whether you plant 1 or 25 or 30 or 40 or 50. It's totally up to you. And, yes, there is some work involved if you get into a lot of trees. That is a lot of work. I give it to the orchards, let me tell you. They spend a lot of time taking care of those trees if you want to get anything out of them. But for us smaller orchard people or home gardeners, we really don't have to spend that much time in a fruit tree. Really, there isn't. There's some basic ideas of what we should be doing. You know, if we're thinking about doing a fruit, doing an orchard, I guess we want to call it. And that is just, there's lots of just questions. And I did put up, I think I did, I'm sure you shared it as well, a website page that is really a nice format. And if you know how to bring up two different what do you call those things? pages on your monitor at once. It's really cool. And you can use that as a format of what we're going to be talking about. It's got some really good information. Or you can just follow along and listen and enjoy the chat room and have a glass of wine with me and not even worry about that too. So it's totally up to you. But anyway, there are lots and lots of ways we can think about putting in an orchard or edible landscape. What do you want to call it? But here we're going to start, and we'll go to my page that I have. Instead of trying, really, really trying to to be more professional. How am I doing?
Sounds good to me.
I'm trying to be more professional. I don't know if I can do it, but I've tried. I really spend some time in thinking about the show, thinking I really want to give some good information out there. So, first of all, let's start with the first question. Where should my backyard orchard be planted? If I'm thinking about planting a fruit tree, where should I put that? First of all, fruit trees, right, they take full sun. They prefer full sun. Any kind of fruit tree or any kind of producing tree of some sort should have full sun. If you can give them at least 6 to 8 hours or at least 6 hours of that hot day sun, then they're going to do fine, even if they get some late afternoon shade or morning shade. As long as they get 6 hours of that hot day sun, you'll be fine. So that's what we want to think about, where to put my fruit tree or my shade tree, or fruit tree, excuse me. Now, what soil do I have? What soil do I have? If you have a clay soil, and again, we've talked about this before, I'm sorry, then we can work with that, but it's going to just take some time. And what I would do is start preparing my soil before I think about putting my trees in, and that could take a little time by adding some, you know, some organic matter, putting in some gypsum, things like adding more sand, bringing in some soil if you need to, you know, do some raised beds, and yes, can fruit trees be planted in raised beds? They can, as long as we know that they're going to eventually go through and then anchor to the bottom, and that would protect them for the winter. But for you guys, the all-year-round people down there, you guys have the ability to put them in more of a raised bed. If, for instance, we have somebody in the chat room that has so heavy clay that nothing really ever does anything, but they really would like to have a fruit tree, build it a bed. Build it a raised container. Mix in the soil that you want to use. By the time they're established and hit that clay soil, they'll go right in and be fine, because you don't get that heavy freeze like we do here, but where things up out of the ground probably wouldn't make it. Even though I know for a fact that if I planted a fruit tree in a raised garden here, it would get down deep enough eventually to get to the regular soil that it would live through the winter. I know for a fact it would. So we could do that. What soil do I have? If you have sand, wonderful. If you have loam soil like I do, awesome. If you have clay, just work with it a little bit. You can overcome any of that if you want to plant a fruit tree. Okay. What fruit do I want? There you go. Plant what you're going to eat. Number one rule, in my opinion. So if you guys really like pears, plant a couple pears and a couple apples and a couple peaches. If you're really not fond of plums, don't waste effort on that. You know, let somebody else do that or whatever. But plant what you're going to eat, because you will take care of it better, and then you will harvest and use that fruit. Now, what purpose do I want the fruit trees for? Do I want them for home eating, home canning, storing, all of the above? Choose that. If I choose that I want to have enough for myself, my neighbor, my mother, my grandmother, you might choose to plant more than 10 trees or 5 trees or 2 trees or, in your case, 16 trees. Is that what it was? Yeah. And you'll have plenty to use for yourself for home canning, plus to probably share with others. Okay. What size do I want my tree to grow?
Mm-hmm.
And right there, that pertains to where I want to plant it. If, for instance, a standard size tree, where our standards are going to grow 25 to 30 feet. I really don't know. I'm going to not be quoted here, but you can quote me. I don't care. I don't know of anybody that nowadays plants standard size trees. Most of them are semi-dwarf, which is a 10 to 12 foot. I believe even in the orchards they use anymore, they use a semi-dwarf.
Mm-hmm.
Tree, because they're easier to take care of. They're not as tall, so that means they're easier to prune, easier to spray, easier to harvest. Where you get into the standard trees, and I know in the olden days, remember the big orchards were monstrous size apple trees and pear trees, peach trees, everything. But they bred them to be semi-dwarf, which is really a nice size tree if you have the room for that many trees that are going to get that big, 10 to 12 feet tall. That means they're going to get at least 12 to 14, 18, 14 feet across or so. So you have to understand your area. Now, a dwarf gets 8 to 10 feet tall. Those are really nice as well. Kind of squatty for my like, but they still are a nice size tree. So if you have a small space, or a container, not container, but more of a raised bed, or you want to add one to your existing landscape, edible landscaping, then maybe your best bet would be a dwarf tree, which is only going to grow 8 to 10 feet tall and maybe, 8 to 12 feet across,
mm-hmm.
depending on pruning. So that might be something. And then you have the patio, which are the ones that, they are the cutest little trees. I don't know if you've ever seen them or ever had one, but I've had them in my past. They do produce. It's crazy how well they produce. So a little patio tree grows 4 to 6 feet tall. They're just the cutest little darn things. You can actually put those in the landscape as well. So they are cute put into an existing landscape if you only have a certain amount of area, but you have room for a little peach tree, depending on your area, or a little miniature apple, or some of the new patio trees come with several different varieties on a tree, which are fun too. A little research in that. You want to make sure and check around, see how well they've done for your area. But They are cute, and they do produce. I know that. I've had the little peaches and little nectarines when I was in Nevada, and they did produce. They were fun. So, again, there's so many options. And then, what is my zone? Okay, I'm thinking this question alone will greatly affect the above answers and narrow your selection in some cases. So, choose your zone. That right there will tell you what varieties of trees I can grow. For instance, here in Wisconsin, peaches are just so on the edge here. We can have a variety that's like a zone 5, but we're 4-5. So if we really get a nasty cold winter without snow cover, those peach trees are going to really suffer. But apple trees here in Wisconsin, you know, the zones, usually there's a really good zone for an apple tree. Most zones can have an apple tree. Pear tree, we have to stick with more of the Asian pears. You all probably get some really fancy Bartlett's and things like that. Again, mm-hmm. You're zone 7, correct?
Yes, 7, and seven. a little bit further south, close to 8, but right here we're 7.
Right, so Bartlett pears do wonderful for you guys. And
oh, yeah.
Pears, things like that, yes. Here, Bartlett's are really on the edge for me. So I have to stick with more of the Asian smaller pears, but hey, they're still flavorful, and they're small, and they're great for canning. So we just kind of, everybody needs to stick with their zone, and that's probably the best way. Cherries, not so much. Pretty much here in zone 4-5, we have to completely go to pie cherries, tart cherries. Any of your Bings or any of your really nice, fancy, smancy ones, they're not going to work for me, but they're going to work for California. They're going to work for you guys down south. They're going to work for even some of the eastern states. They'll work, but even when you get up in New York and things like that, we're looking at zones where more into me here. But anyway, so we have to look at our zones. That's going to narrow your question. So when you're deciding on your trees, that's going to narrow down what you will be planting is your zone. And that is a great way to make a decision on cutting back on or adding to your trees. Okay. Now, and then really the biggest note, and this is what I really found out to be really a good one too, is if you don't know your zone, for warmer climates like yours, there are chilling hours related with varieties that may help with selecting. Because you guys don't necessarily get winter, but you get winter. Don't get me wrong. Don't get in the chat room. Oh, we get winter. Oh, my God. No, you don't get winter like Wisconsin gets winter. You get winter months, but your chilling hours is what some of the trees go by. And I thought that to be particularly interesting. So if you really were wondering, okay, really, will that tree work here or not? It's just on the edge. Maybe it will, maybe I won't. But really, do I want to spend the money, the time, and the effort to get my tree 4 or 5 years old and then all of a sudden have a really bad frost because it's on the edge? So chilling hours. And sometimes even chilling hours will relate to what a tree needs. It does need those chilling hours to produce well. You got to look at it that way, too. Not necessarily is it going to do well. It will do well because it's warmer climate, but then some things, even like if I jump out into lilacs, they need a certain amount of chilling hours to bloom. Some fruit trees, and there is where you get the knowledge from some of these wonderful websites like Stark Brothers and like Peaceful Valley from Grass Valley, who know a lot about and have done so much research, and it's so nice to have them as a resource, that they understand the words chilling hours and they can explain it better than I. But I thought that was really kind of an interesting thing. Chilling hours. Wow, okay, now we've got sizes, shapes, and chilling hours. Oh, goodness, I need a glass of wine. Okay.
Well, there you go.
But it's okay, we're better now. Okay, now pollination. Pollination, I really have never, ever worried too much about pollination. For instance, I know for a fact that down the road, less than a mile, he's got fruit trees. Then the other way down the road, less than a quarter of a mile, there's fruit trees. And then across the road is bees. Well, the bees are going to jump from farm to farm to farm, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So you, for instance, are probably not too far from somebody who has apple trees. So not too far from somebody that has a flowering crabapple tree, which are amazing pollinators for apple trees, period. So bees are your best friends, and they'll go and say, hey, over here, I need pollinated, and they'll jump over to that farm and help back and forth. So I really haven't never worried about pollination, but it's really kind of fun to do the research and say, okay, If I'm planting 5 apple trees, maybe I'll plant this variety because it's a pollinator for these other 3 varieties. See what I mean? And if I'm planting 5 pears, maybe I'm going to plant one of these because it seems to cross-pollinate. It seems to pollinate all these other pears for me. So, you know, or maybe I want to put in a flowering crab apple, and I was thinking about it up front of my house, but I really wasn't going to. But guess what? It's really a good pollinator. A flowering crab apple is for apple trees. So there's lots of ways to think about putting in pollinators. And each tree will have, when it's listed, wherever you purchase your trees, you should have a listing that says the pollinator for that variety. Or is it self-pollinating? Or is it a pollinator for all these other varieties? Then I may select that one because it's going to take care of all the rest of the girls in the herd. It's a herd of trees now. Okay, now, bare root or planting fruit trees? Bare root or container? That's a decision we all want to go decide. Bare root has a great, right now everybody, they're just starting to ship bare root trees. For instance, Peaceful Valley is shipping bare root trees, Stark Brothers shipping bare root trees. You can start seeing bare root trees being offered in lots and lots of garden centers eventually. I don't know about y'all in southern states because you guys stay so warm that, because bare root trees, you know, they are really just yanked right out of the soil. Well, not yanked, but they are dug up. The soil is taken off in there. They're exposed to the ultimate. Their clothes are taken off. So really have to really understand and know where your trees are coming from. Are they, you've been in cold storage for how long? Have they been dug for how long and not kept moist? Are they sitting at the garden center out of the soil, just sitting there looking at you going, I'm starving for water? Those are really good things to understand. Make sure you have a reputable garden center or a reputable dealer or a reputable tree grower, right? So then when you get your bare root trees, and they're lighter too, so if you have an issue with our space or being able to pick things up, bare root trees are so much lighter for shipping purposes, for traveling purposes, for seniors that would like to plant a fruit tree, but maybe that container is just going to be too difficult for them to handle when they get it home. So you can use a bare root tree. So bare roots, again, they are exposed. So before even ordering them or even after ordering them, knowing when they're shipping, get your holes dug ahead of time or have a spot ready for them so you can heal them into warm, moistened soil so that they never dry out in between. Then what we do is we soak them in water just prior to planting for at least 6 to 8, 12 hours, something like that, because all through those roots that have no soil and all through the bark are those in the Cambrian layers and all there's all these dormant root cells ready to suck up that moisture and hold it there to keep that tree alive. So if you soak it, it's sucking up, kind of like an elephant trunk. So then it's all nice and plump. So then, well, you can see the picture. So then it's all nice and plump. So then all you need to do is plant your tree, and it's all ready to start growing. And that is really a great thing about bare root trees. Sometimes they really do very well, and you can get a nice size 4 to 5, maybe 4-year-old, ready to bear tree that is less expensive because it's a bare root as well, for one thing, and it's sometimes easier to handle. So totally up to you, whatever you want to go. Then we have containers. Container trees are a no-brainer. They've already got a nice big root ball. We just need to understand when we dig our hole, we want it 3 times the size of the container it came in, unless you're planting a $25,000 tree that's got this monster hole, and they're going to dig it with their backhoe when they come. But you want to dig a hole that's at least 2 to 3 times bigger than the container it came in. Mm-hmm. That is the new, I've always said that. And, you know, I was talking to Peaceful Valley, and she says, the new way to plant, and I was thinking, you know, I've always said that, but that's Nevada. Dig your holes 2 to 3 times bigger than your thing, you know. And it's because those roots need to be soft for those, the soil needs to be soft for those roots to go into. It won't go into hard soil or dry soil. So if we dig our holes larger, it really makes a nice starting area for that root ball. So dig your hole, and only, it doesn't need to be as deep. It should only be, that tree should only be just maybe a foot deeper than what it's going to sit. And on the bottom is where we will put our organic matter, not necessarily mixed in with our soil that we're going to plant it with. And then We want to make sure when we plant our tree that we do not bury that graft. That graft is that bump on the tree where we all think, gosh, can we bury that because it's sure ugly. There is the lifeblood of your tree. Most tree trees have a rootstock, and that rootstock is the hardiness. The top is the glorious fruit that they've rebred. So the bottom is our rootstock, and usually that's a really hardy, for instance, an apple. That would be the hardiest of all apple trees that they use as a rootstock. That's less, it's disease resistant, it's strong, it's powerful. And then they graft it up top to get us that fancy fruit that we love so much. So that is the graft, and we do not want to bury it. It should be right above the soil just as it is in the container. And you always want to make sure we don't damage that graft or anything at all, because if that top dies, we end up with just rootstock, and that could just be pretty much anything that I'm not really sure what your rootstock is of your tree then. Okay? Am I going too fast?
Nope.
Following along in the chat room as well.
Okay. Now we've got our container home. We dug our hole twice as big as the container, twice as big. Don't get over on that. And we're going to plant. I use a good planting mix that I mix with my soil that came of 20% that came out of the soil, of the hole. I mix it and I put it back in. Some people do not. They plant with straight soil. That's okay, too. Totally up to you. I never, ever promote using manures. I'm sorry. Any organic matter when planting my tree, only because, in my opinion, in my experience, and I'm 50, I got a lot of it. I'm gonna ride that horse until she says no more. Okay. It causes it. Grandpa always said, do never put... never put manure or leaves, mostly leaves. Manure wasn't so much as leaves and organic matter in with your fruit tree, in with your hole, because it causes a gas and it has a hard time. No. He wasn't very scientific. He didn't go to any universities, but sure planted a lot of trees and did a lot of great stuff, so I'm going with it. Use the organic matter on top or below the root ball if you need to, and there's a list of some really good things to put in the hole, okay? Put your organic matter on top, water it in. You don't necessarily have to put it in the hole. For instance, if you want to give it some manure tea afterwards, Annie Haven's manure tea, brew a really nice pot of... here's a commercial for you. Brew a really nice pot of organic tea from Annie Haven and sit down next to your shade tree and have a tea party. There you go. And then when she produces you some apples, you make some apple wine, and you enjoy that too. That was my commercial. That was my infomercial. Okay, so now we know how to plant. Okay, we've done a bare root tree. I got to keep up to my little thing here. I'm not doing very well, am I? Training and trimming trees. Okay. Now, there's a lot of information out there. The information I have on my website was taken from the North Carolina Extension Office, which wonderful people there, and they gave me some wonderful information. The primary objective of training and pruning is to develop a strong tree framework that will support fruit production. End of story. So many times I have seen an orchard or a beginning of a small orchard where they bring that tree home straight from the garden center, and nothing against garden centers. Don't get me wrong here. I love them all. I am an independent garden center advocate from way back. But it's hard for us as garden center owners to look at a tree and go, we need to trim those trees so that the homeowners, when they take them home, they have a fresh start. They have the start, because most homeowners will not trim a tree once they brought it home because it looks so pretty in a pot, right? I've said it before. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to buy a tree in a pot that looks like a whip with little tiny leaves on top. Nobody wants to do it. And you can't sell it. I can guarantee it. I couldn't do it. I can educate that homeowner once they purchase that tree and say, this is what I would do for this purpose. Several of them would say, go ahead, trim it, Arlena, and then they go, oh, my gosh. Many go, that's okay, we'll trim it. And 12 years later, I drive by their yard, and they're on their lawnmower, and they're hunched over, and they're driving under their lawnmower, and their hat's knocked off, and their bottle of wine is scattered all over the lawn. It's just terrible. Same thing with fruit trees, in my opinion. Trim them as soon as you get them. if you have purchased them from a grower that has them pruned to start, awesome, which I'm thinking Stark Brothers. I'm thinking Peaceful Valley. I'm thinking they have, you know, there's a lot of growers that understand that for us and that will do it for us right away. But if not, for instance, you went into some other place, like a big box, okay, I didn't say that word, and you purchased a fruit tree. And it really looks cute because it's got all these branches. It's just full. It's, look how nice and full that tree is. And it's 2 feet off the ground once you get it planted. Okay, your tree is going to be 2 feet off the ground for the rest of its life. And you're not going to ever need a ladder to get in it, but you're never going to be able to walk under it. You're never going to be able to drive under it. You're never going to be able to do anything. And unless that tree is a semi-dwarf or a miniature tree, one of those little teeny, teeny, teeny ones,
mm-hmm.
you don't want it like that. We want a nice, solid tree. So get out the pruning books, look at that tree, give it a good, strong structure right now when you plant it, because in 5 years, and we know how fast that goes by, blink of an eye, you'll be going, gosh, I'm sure glad I pruned it then. Take out all the branches from the inside as far as opening it up. Bring it up, the crotch up. Yes, we're talking crotches again. I saw that comment. We're going to be talking bushes and crotches. We're going to talk a crotch. Get that crotch up high on that tree, especially if it's a semi-dwarf or a standard-sized tree. Get those crotches up high because, again, what? Our tree doesn't grow from the bottom. It grows from the top up. So if that limb is way down here, it's going to be way down here. I know it's hard. Oh, my gosh. But, again, you need a structure, a form, a hardy. You need those little branches taken off and let those big branches be strong and take all the energy. Got it? Got it. Okay.
Got it.
Now, so that's like a big thing, training and trimming fruit trees. And if you get your tree ahead of time, or if you get it started right in the beginning, there really isn't a lot of work to trimming during the year, pruning during the year. Objective is taking out dead branches, keeping it open and airy in the center, and so that we have strong branches to support our luscious fruit for our wine. And diseased branches, if there happens to be any diseased branches and things like that. That's what we need to do after the fact. So really there's not a lot of work that entails that because we're not into orchard production, except for you. You know, we know that, Andy. You're going to put up a little orchard sign at the end of the road. But anyway, then there's dormant pruning versus summer pruning, and that we could go on all day long and back and forth. You know, everybody has their own opinion on that, you know, and depending on your zone, too, that has a lot to do with it as well. And, of course, pruning, depending, you know, spring pruning, you're eliminating a lot of your fruit. But, again, if sometimes we have this little baby tree and she's just prolific with blossoms, what would be best? Let her have all those apples so you have little tiny apples and possibly a lot of breakage, right, because this poor little baby tree is trying to put on so much. Or we're going to take off a lot of those blossoms and just allow her for the couple years that she's brand new to get stronger because she's a mama.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to keep all her babies healthy. So she will give that energy to those little apples and deny herself. So then at the end of the season, you may have a really exhausted mama tree because she's given birth to all these babies. Do you like my aunt? Yeah, I like it. I'm doing this. It's good. We have another glass of wine. No, I'm just kidding.
There you go. Go ahead.
No. So what I'm saying is, though, and then at the end of the season, we have a stressed tree. She's stressed.
Mm-hmm.
That leads us to what? More disease, more pests, things like that. I mean, really easier. So we want to keep her strong. If we don't keep mama strong, nobody's happy, right? Okay, so now our trees are strong and healthy. Okay, pruning cuts. My opinion, the best thing you can do for your tree is to pay attention to when lopping. Never, never, never head out into the orchard or into the garden and grab your chainsaw. It doesn't work that way. No, Andy, no.
Oh, man.
We will send you a nice, really nice pair of pruners. Actually, you know, there's a segue. I just got this new pair of pruners. It is from Ars, A-R-S. Have you heard of those? Oh, my gosh. It's like butter, cutting butter. They're called ARS, and then they sent me this other ARS It's a turbo cut folding saw. It's like cutting butter sharp. But anyway, that was my other infomercial. So that is really, they're really, really important as far as your cuts. In order for them to heal properly, do not cut into the Cambrian layer of the bark of the main bark of the tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
Leave it out, just a quarter. I don't know what the exact measurement is. Please don't somebody go, Arlene, it's not a quarter of an inch. It's an eighth of an inch, 12th of the sections. I do not use a tape measure. I just know that when you trim your limbs, trim them out enough off of the main trunk so you do not bark the bark. You do not cut the bark of the main tree. So that end scabs over, scars over, and then it kind of inserts itself. It's weird how it comes out first, then it goes in. So there is protecting it from any kind of bug infestation or disease infestation. Okay? So don't bark up your bark. Now, we have to talk about bark protection. Why, and for instance, these wonderful Peaceful Valley, Grass Valley, California, that is our prize for the day. Peaceful Valley says these are very, very important. And I understand this point. These are protectors for your trees, for your young trees. They protect from rabbits, mice, voles, other rodents, mechanical damage, that would be you, with Weed Whacker, and sun and scald tree guards. And, they're inexpensive and easy to put on. We've used lots and lots of tree guards in Nevada. Why? Sun scald. If your tree, and that's any tree, gets a sun scald from sunburn, blister, that enables any of your buggies, your worms, your disease to get in quickly, and your tree life is very minimized that way. Because what? The trunk of the tree is her life. She is. That's how she stays strong. So when we put our trees in, it's important to protect them right away. And there's lots of ways. There's lots of things out there that we can wrap, tree wrap. But these are really nice. The protectors are really nice. And they are our treat for the day from Peaceful Valley. So it's really exciting. And they're easy to put on. And they do not girdle because they expand. They're plastic. Mm. You know, we've all seen them.
Mm-hmm.
Guards. That they expand and go, you know, so if we forget to take them off, they're not going to girdle our tree and kill them. So there we go. That's a great way to protect it. Besides, we don't use weed whackers in the orchard, do we? No. Now, what else? Are there questions? I'm just going on.
There is. Do you need to cover a cut once you cut with some type of gum or goop or paint or, you know, that stuff that, you know, to prevent from insect or disease entering where you pruned or cut the tree?
Yes. Well, okay, now here again. Grandpa Workman always said, we don't have to worry about that. She naturally will take care of herself as long as the cut is good.
Mm-hmm.
Good and clean, on a slant, and it's away from the main bark. She will scab over. If you feel that you don't want to wait for that and you would prefer to, there are many, many scab protectors or cut protectors that you paint on. Grandpa used Elmer's glue. I don't know. You know, I could probably get a lot of that, oh my gosh, out there. But Grandpa used Elmer's glue. He put it right on the end there and sealed it up, which if you think about it, what do they use in emergency rooms nowadays? They use, what is that? Oh, super glue. Yeah, but I wouldn't use super glue. But anyway, I never put anything on. So I just cut and do a good cut. If, in fact, you have a damaged tree. If you have a damage, and Andy was out with the lawnmower and got a little too close to the bark of the tree,
not the
lawnmower, I would.
The tractor. Oh, man, I clipped it with the cultivator. Doggone it.
Right. Then I would, if I were you, I would wrap it with something. And there's so many wraps out there that are nice, and you can purchase a grafting wrap would help. You know, anything that is for that tree. I wouldn't go and grab some duct tape and put some duct tape on it. But if I have done in the past, I have used, it's a cardboard wrap, and I have wrapped that around, and it's sold, like you say, in the suppliers You know, Peaceful Valley has some wonderful things. There are a lot of farm stores out there that have some wonderful things. If vet wrap would work, yes, because why? Eventually, if you forget that, what's going to happen? It's going to rot and fall away. There's why I worry about anything that's it's too strong, like wire and duct tape and a piece of carpet. It's gonna do more harm than good. So yes, if I were running around, if Andy was running around in the garden, in the orchard with his tractor, and got a little too close because he didn't want to jump off and maybe grab the weeds with his hand, then you would probably I would definitely put something on just to help that scab up quickly. You know, because sometimes, you know, but as far as little things, no, I never put anything on. Underwear. No, Andy.
You know, wrap it around the base of the tree. You know, you're always wondering, it's time for some new undies from Wally World. Maybe I can use these older ones for a, you know, a car wash rag or maybe a detailer for the tires or, you know, just wrap it around the tree.
Really
or,
right
I don't
now.
Think the
no,
neighbors
not.
Would like that too much
I'm
either, would they?
I'm
yeah, the neighbors.
I'm not listening.
Neighbors probably
I
wouldn't
not
like that either.
Because you know why? They're sending me to Atlanta again next year. Actually,
really?
Maybe even this winter. So I'm coming to your house and sit on your couch again. Because I sat on it once, but I'm coming again. And I guarantee there better not be no underwear out in your orchard. No. No. We'll take care of that with a pair of scissors. Okay, now, here we go. I thought, you know, to get the best varieties for my area, who would know that? The orchard people would know that. But remember, when you do call, and I did call many yesterday, I called one from Georgia yesterday. I talked to a gentleman from Georgia yesterday. I love your guys' voice. I spoke with David Lillard of Mercier Orchards of Blue Ridge, Georgia.
Yeah.
He was very helpful, wonderful guy. He said he wanted the royalty checks to be mailed as soon as possible. But I told him that was not happening. Anyway, he's from Blue Ridge, Georgia. His name is David Lillard. I wrote that on my website. It's on that page of Mercier, M-E-R-C-I-E-R, Orchards. And he is Zone 7, he says.
Mm-hmm.
He had some recommendations. So anybody in Zone 7, they're on my page. It's a few early variety recommendations. He really, really enjoys the twig varieties. Now, I had not in my life heard of the twig varieties because, obviously, we're not in Zone 7. They're an heirloom apple. There's red twig, black twig, most common of the native apples. So he would recommend that. He says, this is what he says now. They're not a lot to look at because, of course, any heirlooms, you know, they're fancy, delicious apples that are bred for store. But heirlooms still retain that hardiness of the plant and the flavor that they originally were made, you know, correct? So his recommendation for an early variety would be the twig varieties. Not a lot to look at, but very disease-resistant, hardy, as well as productive. And Detroit Red he likes. Those are early varieties he suggested for Zone 7 in Georgia. And they're listed right on that page on my website. Excuse me. No, mid-season, he likes Rome Beauty. Again, not a good-looking apple, but consistent and great flavor. He was very helpful. I really, really liked him. Late season, Granny Smith. Now, he jumped in the phone when he said this. He said, if any of the trees, 100% the best apple for the area, I can grow a Granny Smith when everything else fails, he says.
Okay.
Granny Smith. Roma, Fuji, and Pink Lady.
Fuji, yummy.
All those. That's
I love Fuji
suggestion.
Apples. That's my favorite.
Yes. For Georgia, Zone 7. Those are his recommendations because he has an orchard, and that's, I think, in my opinion, that's who we need to go to. Now, first thing when I started talking to him, though, he's like, okay, well, where do you live? I said, no, I want for your area, and I'm not growing a lot. I just want to, I'm not putting in an orchard, so make sure when you call the orchards, you explain that you're not going into competition with them. You're not putting in an orchard to resale, unless, of course, that's what you're planning on doing, but that you want a few to put in so that you and your grandchildren can collect apples or you and your kids can collect apples and make apple pie. then they totally switch gears and they're like, oh, well, then if I were you, this is what I would put in because this is our experience. And in my opinion, I know because I'm 50, experience is important. There's book smart and there's experience smart. And so I would think that your orchards and your tree growers would have the experience that we need. Okay, then I talked to Sarah at Stark Brothers Nurseries from Louisiana. And Louisiana MO, is that Missouri? I'm sorry, I'm terrible. And I asked Sarah to help us with some plum varieties for the home orchard. And so there is a really nice listing she wrote. Most plums you find in grocery stores, the round reddish purple colored ones, are Japanese plums. The trees are ideal for people who live in zones 5 to 8, although many find certain cold hardy or heat tolerant varieties as well. One of the best plum trees I can think of is the Methley plum, M-E-T-H-L-E-Y plum. And I have a picture of it on the top of that page. It is a seasonal looker, especially it's showy, blossoms in the spring. So there's a plus. A self-pollinating, there's another plus. Dwarf, and disease resistant, another, which means less need for spray, ideal for backyard growers. Dwarf plum trees get to be 8 to 10 feet tall. Methley is a heat-tolerant variety plum, so even people in zone 9 can grow these trees successfully. I would also recommend Santa Rosa plum for very similar characteristics to the Methley plum, but the fruit is slightly larger and the tree is more vigorous producer of the fruit. So there you go. There's a really
nice... Did you say Nestle plum? So it's a chocolate plum. Yum.
It is. Yeah, it is. It's all chocolate coated. Nestle. M-E-T-H-L-E-Y. You are not helping. I'm trying to be professional. Somebody might be. Yeah. And then cherries. Okay. Sweet cherries thrive in very similar zones as plums. This is also from Sarah from Stark Brothers Nurseries. And we all know, they know their fruit trees, just like Peaceful Valley. So sweet cherries thrive in very similar zones as plums. Most are ideal for the 5 to 8 zone range, with a few exceptions depending on the variety.
Mm-hmm.
There is a sweet cherry variety called Black Gold that is frost tolerant. It blooms late to avoid late spring frost that can zap blossoms and ruin chance of fruit production that year. So that's a plus. Disease resistant, another one. Crack resistant. Cherries can be prone to crackling, especially when the weather has been dry and then it rains while the fruit is maturing. Now, cracking is mostly an aesthetic thing since the fruit is still edible if it does. But we all would rather prefer not to have any cracks, if possible. You be quiet. And it is self-pollinating as well. So there we go. There is a sweet cherry variety called White Gold, easy to remember these two together, that has a yellow-red fruit as opposed to a dark fruit of the Black Gold. And it has all of the resistant qualities of the Black Gold cherry tree. I'm so excited. I was so excited to get some great information from these gals. They're so very helpful. And again, very, very helpful. I really need to go, and that was from Stark Brothers again from Sarah. I need to go back. I had this really neat thing that the gentleman said from Georgia, and I forgot to read it. He also told me something very interesting. He said, the last tree to bloom is the first tree I harvest. Doesn't that sound backwards?
It does, absolutely.
But he said it's true. The last tree to bloom is the first tree I harvest. So when we're looking at our varieties, we want to look for things. I always think, oh, I want to look for something that blooms late. But he says that's the total opposite. The last tree to bloom is the first tree I harvest. So if I want a later fruiting tree, then I would plant something that blooms first, early. Well, actually, that does make sense if you think about it, because that apple or that fruit or pear or plum or cherry needs more time to make because it hangs on longer, right? It's weird. That's a stumper. I'm going to let you handle that one. But that's what he said. He said it is. And that's has anybody else heard of that in the chat room? I don't know.
Arlena, okay. I got to go to break, but when we come back, we'll continue. And I also have some questions because I wanted to touch a little bit about the maintenance factor. So many people are so afraid, bugs, spraying pesticides. I want to try to do it naturally, but no, I've got to spray for bugs, especially peaches and all this stuff. So we'll finish and wrap up what we're talking about, and then maybe you can touch on a little bit about that kind of continuing maintenance and do we need to be scared about that? Do we not to be scared and whatnot? We're talking with Arlena Schott, Garden Wise Living with Arlena today. We're talking all about fruit trees and maintenance with them and how to plant them, when to plant them, and different varieties for your zones. Hope you're enjoying the show. We'll return right after this short break.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
And you can find all the great Ware products here.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Treats for chickens. Health and happiness for your modern backyard pet chicken. Healthy pet chicken basics, non-toxic bug relief, treats, organic snacks, and more. All created with your backyard pet chickens in mind. At Treats for Chickens, we treat your chickens well. Find us online at treatsforchickens.com or ask for us in your local farm and feed store or favorite pet shop. That's treatsforchickens.com. Snap Lock Chicken Coops, the American-made, maintenance-free, plastic hen house. With its double wall construction and adjustable ventilation, it's the perfect year-round home for your small flock. It will not fade or rot and is unaffected by rain, sun, heat, cold, or chemicals. The removable litter and nesting trays make cleaning a breeze. Every access point is lockable for maximum predator resistance. Snap-lock chicken coops weigh just 40 pounds and snap together in minutes. So spend more time enjoying your flock and less time building and maintaining your coop. For additional information, please visit snaplockchickencoops.com. Also available at mypetchicken.com, critter-cages.com, and chickensforbackyards.com. Today's special guest segment is brought to you by NatureWise Natural Poultry Feeds by Nutrina. NatureWise Natural Poultry Feeds by Nutrina are the natural choice for nutritionally balanced feed for your flock and contain only fresh, wholesome ingredients. Learn more at NutrinaNatureWise.com. That's NutrinaNatureWise.com.
All righty, welcome back to Backyard Poultry with a Chicken Whisperer. Today is the first Wednesday of the month, which means Garden-Wise Living with Arlena. We're talking all about fruit trees and just about anything and everything. And before I forget, Arlena, there is a question here in the chat room that was posted just for you. They're heading out today to get some fruit trees. Can you maybe share with us what would be the best selections for the Arizona area, Phoenix, Arizona, that is.
Oh, my gosh, zone.
Yeah, putting you on the spot there.
Yeah, but that is not impossible here.
We know it's probably going to be, you know, probably like Florida zone 7, zone 8, because, you know, I know they have some cool nights in the winter, but most of the time it's always 190 degrees out there, but they say no humidity, so it feels okay, if you believe that. But
right.
So we know warm client, so why you keep looking that up, so we'll do that.
I'm going to get Sarah from Stark Brothers on the phone here.
Oh, wow. Perfect.
Not on the phone, but on. Let's see if I can get her to jump on Facebook real quick and see if I can get some really, really one-on-one, because I would hate to, you know, tell you the wrong things to get, especially if you're running today to do it, unless you wanted to. You're going right now. You're going. Okay, let's see if I can find her here. See if she's on. I was hoping maybe she would have been in the chat room today, or at least listening in. Maybe Charlotte Daffodil Planner, maybe she from Pisum Valley is listening in, and we could get them. Sometimes they don't go into the chat room, but they are still listening, you know. And if Sarah is listening, I need you. They are such good helpers, not to single out one grower, but Grandpa, like I told you in the past, when I first took over the nursery from Grandpa, we always got our trees from Stark Brothers, and I can vouch for those trees, and that's all I can say for that. I'm not getting paid by
anybody. A lot of people in the chat room have been bragging about that as well, and there's been a lot of links posted to different pages on their website over at Stark Brothers. So lots of people must have experience with them, sure.
Yes, and I think it's an experience thing. I'm not to condemn anybody. I love Peaceful Valley. I've been there in Grass Valley, and I agree. They grow over 10,000. They sell over 10,000 trees a year, so they really can't be. They're probably very smart as well. So let's see if I can get Sarah to come on. Are you there, dear? I hope so. I love social media. I am not going to go there anymore. Well, stop talking right now here. You be quiet. Let's see if, or maybe Charlotte is in too. Charlotte Daffodil Planner, if we don't know her. She is also from Nevada. She's from Nevada City. That's where Pisum Valley is. And they're wonderful people as well. So knowledgeable and so ready to help us guys, okay? Let's see if she's here too. And if not, I apologize. I can jump right into, gosh, I wish we could be on the phone. Let's call. Is there orchards in Arizona?
I can call them from the switchboard. If you have a contact person there, I can call them right away.
I don't have, but we could probably find somebody. Ask the people in the chat room if there is an orchard there, and we would be happy to call them and ask them, because I am scared to death. First of all, Arizona. So I can jump into my Nevada shoes, and I'm sure I was in northern Nevada, and see what scares me about Arizona. Aren't they just like really, really warm all the time? Do you have any chilling hours at all there? Let's see.
See, that was, hang on, I'm scrolling up in the chat room. It just scrolls so fast.
I know. Let's see if we can find an orchard in Arizona to call. Okay, Arizona. You know those radio people have Arizona orchard. Let's see. Have those other radio people. What's his name? Howard Stern guy? Don't they have, like, people that sit in their wing and they do all that for them? Where is ours? Okay, I'm working on it. Here's Arizona Orchard Directory. Or let's see if we can get somebody on the phone. Featured orchard.
Well, that'll be putting them on the spot. Hey, we're live on the radio. Can you please tell us what?
I don't care. Apple varieties. Here's apple varieties.
I'm sure they can go to, for example, the Stark Brothers, and they can put in zone whatever what the zone they're in, and then they can get, a full list of trees
that
will grow there.
Here is the top rated varieties for your area, according to the Arizona Orchard Society. Now, I guess that's probably pretty good, right? Ash, Meads, Kernel. What is it? It doesn't tell me if that's an ash mead. I'm going to click on it here. It's
somebody,
an apple.
Somebody just sent me a whole list of, this is You Pick Orchards and Farms in Arizona. So
Macintosh? Temptation. These must be the apples. Granny Smith has 72 votes, so Honeycrisp, Pink Lady, just sounds to me like the same kind of zones as you there in Georgia. Because Granny Smith is the top 10 most voted of varieties. It's a Granny Smith, Honeycrisp, Pink Lady. We've already talked about two of those. Three of his Macintosh, Golden Delicious. Now those are apples. Does it do us anything as far as peaches or anything like that? Top apples. I'm sorry, I'm taking up a lot of time here. Top varieties. Granny Smith, of course, we're going to jump right in with that one, in my opinion. Pink Lady, again. Red Delicious, Macintosh, Golden Delicious. Any Delicious family, if this helps at all with you, for apples. It's not giving me a listing of any other variety of fruit trees. And I can't... I apologize. But you know what? I'd be more than happy to get you a listing from any of the orchards, but you're going right now. So why don't you drive to the orchard and say, listen, I am going shopping and I want to know what to pop by. I'm sorry. Here's Apple Annie's Orchard, Wilcox, Arizona. Apple Annie. I'm taking up a lot of time, huh? Apple Annie's Orchard. Let's see if it doesn't have field trips and groups, harvest calendar events, and then apple and produce, pumpkin. Doesn't tell us varieties that she grows.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Like I said, they can probably find what zone they're in and then look that up. You know, of course, at Stark Brothers or any of the other nurseries. Or, like I said, if all else fails, if they're going out shopping today to a place that's a competent grower, then obviously they'll be able to tell you what's going to grow best in your area. There's just a bunch of zones throughout the country. Arlene is up in Wisconsin, and so obviously it's not fair to expect her to know what's going to grow in every zone across this great land, but she can, I'm sure, get you in contact with people you need to be in contact with. Or, again, if you go by the orchard, they should be able to tell you what's going to grow in your area so you don't waste your money.
Yep. Here's Charlotte Daffodil. She is actually tweeting the show right now, she says. And she says, what's up? So I'm going to see, or whatever, I'm going to see if she has any recommendations. She is from Peaceful Valley and Grass Valley. But like you say, I think, in my opinion only, and this is just opinions, everybody has one, that it would do you best, yes, to go to a reputable grower and ask them their opinions as well, or calling the apple orchards and asking their opinions, because they are right there. Any recommendations for fruit trees? I can't type very fast. Fruit trees from Arizona.
Well, after a few glasses of wine, the keyboard gets kind of blurred, doesn't it?
It is a little blurred. So let's see. Okay. But anyway, yeah. That's I apologize for not being able to just jump right in and help you there, but we'll try to get some information to you as quickly as we can. She's typing right now, so let's see if she just goes, I don't know. Okay? Other than that, I really think that is so cool that you asked. I thank you for asking. Let's put it that way. Okay? Anything else? Prize? Yes, we have a prize. We have a prize from Charlotte. Here's the Charlotte. Pomegranates, figs, and citrus. Do you have any recommendations for fruit trees for Arizona? She wrote, pomegranate, figs, and citrus. Now, is she meaning because apples don't do well, or is she just recommending those as being the best for your area? And if so, I'm very jealous because I love pomegranates and figs and citrus fruits. So that's awesome there. So that's what she says. Need links on those? I'm just going to ask her about apple. I don't know if they were, if in the chat room, are they thinking about apples, that kind of fruit, and peaches, or fruit in general? I don't know. But she did say pomegranates, figs, and citrus. And that's where we're going. And I'm asking her about apple varieties, so we'll see if she has any recommendations for that. So that's really cool. Ah, thank you very much. That's really cool. I love it. I am so glad I take time out for social media. Just saying. Sorry. Citrus. So it was citrus that you were thinking about, huh? Was talking about anything other than citrus. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Then I've asked her that as well. So we'll see what she comes back with on that. Maybe she's still typing. She's very, this woman is like the amazingest woman. It's like Annie Haven, who is like the queen of Twitter, you know. Dab Charlotte is like, you know. Anyway, I love when you come on. Oh, thank you very much, Jessica. Sorry I read that private message out loud. I love when I'm on the show, too. Thank you so very much. We had two of those covered. Thanks for helping me track it down. We have two of those three covered. Thanks for helping me track it down. Oh, cool. Okay, good. Annie Haven sells manure tea. Yes, she does. And if you're putting in fruit trees, you need to have a tea party with your trees. That's all I'm going to say on that fact.
tell us a little about. Hey, little man. Hey, give me five. Give me five. Good boy. You the man. You're the little whisperer right there. Yes, sirree. Yeah. Yeah. You're the good boy. Give me five. All right. That's a good boy. Little man came in to visit. Hang on.
That's fine. Let's see now. Where were we at? I don't mean to cut anybody off. Are we answering everybody's questions? That's probably the biggest thing.
If you can talk a little bit, you know, it doesn't have to be long drawn out, but if tell us, like I said, the biggest, I think one of the biggest things that people are afraid with fruit trees, I know it's just been kind of buried in my mind a bunch of times, is that, oh, you're going to have to spray all the time, insects, mm-hmm. bugs, critters, and then the effort's not going to be worth what you get because of all the disease, the blights, the mm-hmm. rot. So a lot of people are afraid because of they think it's just going to be so demanding when they plant these fruit trees. Down here in Georgia, of course, we always hear that about peaches, but I know I've heard it with apples and just about anything that's got fruit. You know, hey, everybody loves the fruit, just like everybody loves chickens. Our big goal is to try to keep them protected from predators. Everybody loves fruit, so you're going to have to, again, keep it protected if you want anything. And then you kind of, are you defeating the purpose? Well, now I've got to spray and do all this other stuff, so what's, you know, is it worth it?
Okay, exactly. I'm just going to say exactly. Everybody is always, that's the first thing, well, don't I have to spray? Because if I don't spray, what am I going to get? I might get a worm in my apple. That's probably the biggest thing. Now, I don't worry so much about the worm in my apple, because if they want to eat my apple, that means that they're pretty good and I want to feed it to my family. And I don't have a problem with that. Same with corn. I don't care about sharing a few kernels with the worm. I do care, though, about worrying about fungicides and sprays and things like that. I do worry about that because, yes, especially in the warmer climates that don't have those chilling hours. That's my new best thing, chilling hours. I do worry about funguses, you know, things like that that can stay around for long periods of time. Here in Wisconsin or in the colder climates, we do have those chilling hours that get really low, and I believe, in my opinion, I do believe it takes care of a lot of of those funguses and things like that in critters, bugs, not critters. Critters I think of as fuzzy, little, long-legged things, but when I'm talking about insects and things like that, there's lots of things we can do that are natural. Now, there again, it's tough. Think about it. The word natural, the word organic has been whitewashed. Nothing against anybody who sells that. And I'm sure, for instance, the companies that do sell that, I would hope that they do their research to know exactly what to promote for us. But again, it is totally up to us to check it out. So if there's a product that your local garden center sells or your farm store sells and that you want to use, I would do some research on that to make sure that it's a reputable product. That's the end of that story. But, for instance, hey, I have an answer from Charlotte. Sorry, I'm going to cut you short there. But I'm going to say right now, Charlotte said, Zone 10 is as warm as apples go. And that would be Honeycrisp and Gala. Honeycrisp and Gala. How about peaches? She is so cool. She's going to hang right on the show here and tell if we need anything else. But anyway... But I'm going to go back to this. Biological fungicides, they promote beneficial microbes, protect the plants from the soil-borne pathogens as well as airborne pathogens. If we're thinking about spraying something, I would look to at a biological fungicide because funguses probably are going to be our number one problem in your warm climate. And even here, we'll get some of that, but not as much as anything from down below 6 to 7 and down.
Fungus and insects.
Fungus and insects. Now, what we call, so look for a biological fungicide. And again, be diligent as a consumer and inspect and find out exactly what people are saying about these products. I don't want you to buy it because it says natural and organic and then find out 10 years down the line that it actually wasn't. But you know what? There's a lot of that going out. We just have to go with it, right? We can't stop it all in one day. It's just going to take time. Let's see. Then, okay, for instance, the botanical insecticides and fungicides. You've heard of botanical. Yes, these are made from plants. These are natural, but they are, and you know, while they're safer than chemical pest controls, the botanical insecticides made from plants, they are very strong. And they should only be used in the last resort. There are a lot of places that do not use them because of that situation. They are very strong. Any of your dormant sprays, in my opinion, are something to use when you're planting your plant and it's dormant. For instance, if you get in a bare root plant that's dormant, we're going into the winter months, use a neem oil. Any of the oil-based dormant oils, they're going to protect from scales, mites, aphids, and peach twig borers. They're a preventative measure. Any of the oils are a preventative measure for those. The oil suffocates them. So any of your oil-based products, the oil is suffocating them. So it's got to be good. I mean, it's okay. Neem oil preventative. It's in low dosage for fungicides. That's what I use is neem oil. Anything like that. But again, these are preventative measures. Once you have it, then we go back to the biological fungicides and hope for the best with our products. But it's not – am I answering the question or am I going around it?
No.
It's not as difficult as it sounds out there. There are so many wonderful products. And, again, being diligent as a consumer, in my opinion, is the number one thing. Use your biological fungicides rather than your botanical insecticides and fungicides. Those are very harsh and very strong. It's better to have to reissue the product or re-put it on. Safer soaps, yes. Safer soaps, absolutely. It's better to have to reapply than harming your tree. And that, again, with the botanical insecticides and fungicides, they can be a little harsh. But safer soaps are perfect. And, again, those are a protective measure, and they're low dosage, so you can apply several times with safer soaps. Absolutely. I love that, yes. But your dormant oils, in my opinion, is a really good preventative measure. And again, it suffocates those little critters by the oil itself, like neem oil and things like that. Does that help?
That helps, absolutely.
Prize
I think
time.
It's prize time.
Peaches are only as cool as zone 9. Most of the peach varieties grow in zone 9. So... for Arizona, peaches are only as cool as those.
Yeah, peaches normally, and that's why even, you know, only a certain strip of middle Georgia is famous for peaches. We're the peach state, of course, though we no longer produce.
No, actually, California is now, sorry.
Well, I know, as far as the amount of production,
yes.
Correct. And South Carolina also, I think, even beats Georgia now, but we are still considered the peach state. But there's a strip through middle Georgia that, like I said, you have to get, in fact, a lot of people are concerned here, we don't get a certain number of cold days that hit freezing, it can hurt the peach crop here. You just gotta
have... I get what she's saying. They won't work.
Yep,
peaches.
Yep.
Don't worry about them. Don't think about them. Just go with the things that are going to do well, which is going to be your apples. And I just asked her about plums and cherries. And we'll see where she goes with that. But anyway, I'm sorry. I took you away from your prize.
Which actually is your prize today.
Yes. And it comes from Charlotte Daffodil Planner, which actually comes from Peaceful Valley. Peaceful Valley is in, they're from California, Grass Valley area, beautiful Nevada City, love it, and they have donated a pack of tree guards, which is what we need to protect and preventative measures from critters, Andy, and many other...
Andy and his tractor.
Sun, yeah. Well, we might need tractor tires around each of ours for that. But, and sun protection, so they don't get sunburnt. So that is the prize for the day. Yeah, that is the prize.
Good. And let me tell JR that the secret password has already been announced today, but it's already on our Facebook page. We posted it on Facebook and Twitter, and so it's already been posted there if you need to go check it out, because it was announced earlier today. So very good. Okay, I've got the trivia question. What we're going to do is I'll ask the trivia question. If you know the answer, you'll call in, and then we'll have Arlena pick the winning caller. And then if you know the answer to the question, then you'll win this awesome prize that Arlena has graciously volunteered for today. So,
actually, oops, I'm sorry, Charlotte just cut me off. See, that's great about social media. I love it. Charlotte says from Peaceful Valley that there are three prizes, three packs of tree guards. So we get to give away three.
Okay, that's fine. We got time to do three. That'll be just fine. So let me first. Okay.
Okay,
here's the first question for today. First, Arlena, pick a winning caller. Caller number...
Six.
Caller number six, 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237. If you know the answer to the following question. The last time Arlena was on the radio show, it was her birthday. How old did Arlena turn on her birthday 2 weeks ago? So that's the question we have. Caller number six, 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237. A pack of the tree guards, which are awesome. We've got to have those. And I'm going to go to a very quick short break while we have the folks call in. Again, 347-637-3237. If you know, 2 weeks ago, it was Arlena's birthday here on the radio show. How old did she turn? We'll be back with a winner right after this.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust. Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron.
Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
All righty, let's head over here, and I believe you said call number six?
Yes.
Caller number six, here we go. Calling in from area code 618. 618, you're live on the air. State your name, tell us where you're calling from.
Hi, Andy, it's Bill from Illinois.
Hey, Bill from Illinois, thank you very much for tuning in live today. We appreciate it, participating in the contest. So a couple of weeks ago, Arlena joined us, and she had a birthday, and she's already mentioned it on the show today, but how old did she turn?
Well, she's a young 50.
Ah, is that correct, Arlena?
That is correct, Bill. I love you, dear.
Yeah, but you're still a young thing.
She's still young. Yep, that's true.
Yay,
Bill.
You
that's
win cool. Tree guards. Yay.
Yeah, great. I can use them.
Good.
All righty. Very, very good. Thank you very much for tuning in. Hey, Bill, send me an email. You know the drill. You've listened quite a long time. Send me an email to chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. That's chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. Put tree guards in the subject line, and then name, shipping address, phone number, and email in the email itself. So type out your email below your phone number. So name, shipping address, phone number, and email. Type that out, and then send that over to me. So, alrighty, we're going to we got another one to give away. It looks like. So let me go ahead and clear the switchboard. So if you get hung up on, you'll know why. And give me just a second. There we go. And perfect. All right, the switchboard is clear. Pick another caller. Arlena.
Three.
Ooh, fast fingers. Call number 347-637-3237. If you can name a variety of apple tree we talked about today, any variety will be fine. Name a variety of apple tree that was mentioned during the show today. 347-637-3237. If you can name a variety of apple tree that was mentioned today on the radio show, 347-637-3237. So we'll see how many people were paying attention today, Arlena.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Hey, I did get an answer back from Charlotte now. She assumes that the orchard will be in Zone 9 or cooler. Plums, that's Burgundy, Emerald, Boot, Loroto. Should I just post this? cherries, Bing, Craig's, Crimson, zones to Zone 10. Royal Lee goes to Zone 10.
Bada bing!
I'm going to just post this. That's funny. Okay, go ahead. Do your giveaway, or we're going to run out of time.
Okay, three. Oh, we got plenty of time. Okay, caller number three. So fast fingers today from 1, 2, 3. Caller calling in from area code 916. 916, you're on the air. State your name. Tell us where you're calling from.
This is Ken Hastings.
Ken from the chat room. How you doing today? What state are you calling
good.
From?
I'm calling from Sacramento, California.
California, sweet deal. Name an apple variety that we talked about today on the show.
Granny Smith.
Granny Smith. Everybody loves Granny Smith. Absolutely.
Yes.
Correct. Yeah, congratulations. You've won some tree guards as well, a package of those. So heading your way, just the same thing. Send me an email, chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net, and then put tree guards in the subject line, name, shipping address, phone number, and please also your email under your phone number. I can copy and paste that and get that back over to Arlena or wherever I need to get that so they can send your prizes. Wait, tell us again, Arlena, who are these prizes coming from? We've got to give them the credit.
They are coming from Peaceful Valley. They are a farm store in Grass Valley, California, Nevada City, actually. And It's called Peaceful Valley Farm and Garden Supply in Nevada City, California. So it's
can
awesome.
You post their website in the chat room?
Yes. Let's see if we can get that
again,
up for you.
I did it before.
Somebody
so.
Probably did.
Yep, yeah. Thank you very much. That'll be great. And we've got one more. So I'm going to go ahead and clear the switchboard here in just a second. So if you get hung up on, you'll know why. I'm not being mean. Just trying to keep it real and keep it fair. So very, very good. Got that. Okay, let's see. Let's see who's paying attention here. We got one more. But pick a caller number.
Six. Again. Sorry.
Again. Six again. Okay. Caller number six again. 347-637-3237. Clearing the switchboard here. The question is, who is coming on the radio show tomorrow and what will the topic be? 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237. Caller number six right now. If you can tell us who is scheduled to be our guest tomorrow on the radio show and what will the topic be? We discussed that earlier in the radio show, so hopefully you'll remember, or you knew, or you remembered. So this is for some awesome tree guards to protect those trees from that harrow or the tractor or the lawnmower or the weed eater or all kinds of great things like that. So, gosh, I know we're going to need those here, that's for sure. Sorry, folks. Andy, the Chicken Whisperer, is the winner. Thank you very much for playing.
Hi, Andy. I'm sure we could probably get you a pack, maybe.
I got a cultivator on the tractor later this afternoon, actually, and head down the road. So, call number six. 347-637-3237. Who is the guest for tomorrow's show, and what will the topic be? That is the question, to be or not to be. So, I'm still trying to get the bee guy on. We were hoping Tuesday, but that didn't pan out. Hadn't heard back from him. We're about due for another bee show. And so... Yep.
Well, while we're waiting for a six, I could read again what Charlotte wrote me as far as for the varieties.
Please do.
Oh, maybe. Where's it go? It went away. Uh-oh. 2 seconds. One, two. Come on. I only have 14 windows up. I love technology. Uh-oh. You know, when it works. Okay, here, 2 seconds. Come on, there we are. Okay, again. Plums, Burgundy, Emerald, Boot, B-E-A-U-T, Laredo, Cherries, Laredo, Cherries, Bing, Craig's, Crimsons, goes to Zone 10, Royal Lee goes to Zone 10, Utah, Giant, and Van, those are cherries. Let's see, these are all our flavorful picks that we highly recommend for fruit tasters. They all need to check the updated USDA zone map. That is wonderful information from wonderful Charlotte Daffodil Planner Jermaine. Anyway, so if you wanted to email me, I could send you a private whole message of what she sent me so that you have a shopping list. But if I were you, I would just get right on it and let us know how it turns out.
Great.
Do we have any yet?
Yes, we do. Let's see. Caller number six, you said. One,
yes.
Two, three, four, five, six. Okay. Hey, somebody may be local here. Area code 404. 404, you're live on the air. State your name. Tell us where you're calling from.
Hello?
Hey, you're live on the air. And tell us your name and where you're calling from, please. Oh, you're breaking up a lot. Hang on. Let me see if we can turn the volume up a little bit here. Okay. Try that again. I can't. Okay. I'm going to have to. I can't hear anything, but hang on. I'm going to put you on hold. I'll come back to you in just a second. We'll try it one more time. If not, we'll go to the next caller because I can't hear anything. Could you hear that too? Do you hear like someone's pressing the buttons?
That's all I hear, yeah.
Okay. Let's try it again.
Hello?
Hey, you're live on the air now. State your name. Tell us where you're calling from.
Hey, I'm Shelly from Georgia.
Shelly from Georgia. All right. Perfect. I got you, hear you loud and clear now. So if you'll tell us what actually the question was, your call number six, who tomorrow's guest will be and what the topic is.
We're going to hear from Dr. Bridget McCray, and she's going to be talking about processing chickens.
Super. Congratulations. We don't have too many callers from Georgia. Every now and then we've got a few, but awesome. It's good to hear from somebody here in the hometown, and so we're close to the hometown, so congratulations there. All I need you to do to claim your prize, please, is send me an email. If I don't get an email from the winners, I can't get the prizes out to you. That's chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. If in the subject line of the email, if you're put in tree guards, I'll know what it's pertaining to. And then in the email itself, your name, your shipping address, your phone number, and your email. Name, shipping address, phone number, and email. And we appreciate you for listening and appreciate those prizes, Arlena. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
That's very cool, and thank you for coming on.
Thank you to Peaceful Valley, and thank you, of course, to Stark Brothers and everybody that actually, you know, contributed to this wonderful show. And Andy, I just got news from Charlotte Daffodil Planner from Peaceful Valley that she will be sending you a pack of tree guards just for being so wonderful. You have to. There's a stipulation.
Uh-oh.
One stipulation that you have to post a picture of yourself using them on Pinterest. I'm just teasing.
My God.
I'm just teasing. Don't get on that. Anyway, yes.
Hey, we're
going to ignore that. We're ignoring that.
Actually, I'm going to actually buy the website nointerest.com and people can post things that they have no interest in at all.
Oh, that's wonderful. Anyway, I'm truly telling the truth here that I just spoke with Peaceful Valley, and they will be sending you as well a pack of those tree guards. So make sure to include yourself in that, and that's from Peaceful Valley. Yep.
I may have to do a little video of us installing those, and because like I said, this fall, it's on our bucket list for this fall.
There you go. You'll be all set.
Get the 16 orchard tree orchard in here at the old homestead. So, hey,
right.
Thank you very much for joining us. We look forward to having you here in two more weeks coming back on. So we'll look forward to seeing you then.
Thank you. Don't forget to garden wise, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Arlena. That's going to wrap up another great show here, Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, today being the first Wednesday. She's on the first and third Wednesday of every month. Arlena Schott, Garden Wise Living with Arlena. Today we talked all about fruit trees, the good, the bad, the ugly, and all everything in between. Gave away some great prizes today to some listeners. How fun was that? And make sure you follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheChickenWhisperer. We're over there at Twitter. @ Backyard Poultry, and we hope you have a wonderful and fabulous day. I guess tomorrow, Dr. McCray, PhD, poultry scientist, professor, and small flock specialist, will be joining us here at 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking about processing your own backyard birds. So also, hopefully you're collecting the passwords for the chicken coop contest from mypetchicken.com, and hope you've sent in your email to enter Chicken Coop Contest number 2 from SnaplockChickenCoops.com. So we'll have two awesome winners on Halloween. How cool is that going to be? And we hope you have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here, 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Oh,